cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest. What assembly?
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
Name of Jesus. Let's welcome Apostle Arum and put your hands together. Kinto Shesha will lead you.
For having me. Let us pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. We ask that you speak to us and bless us and take all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Please, you may be seated. Turn your Bible briefly to the book of Exodus, chapter 6. Teaching for like 20 minutes, then we'll pray as a congregation. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I would do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he shall let them go, and with a strong hand he shall drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am Jehovah. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name El Shaddai. But by my name Jehovah was I not known unto them. We want to explore God. We want to explore that personality called God. And the Old Testament orientation of factoring God was consistent with the way he decides to appear. Every appearance of God was encapsulated in a certain identity in order to build a heritage of God among the people of Israel, so that if a generation comes and a certain dimension of God that was prevalent before is no longer obtainable, they will know that that is part of their spiritual heritage, and it will occasion them the opportunity to trust God for the restoration of that dimension. What we have here is a situation God was about to unveil another strand of his essence. And in keeping with the circumstances concerning his covenant people, Moses, that was chosen to be a prophet over them, was going to have an exclusive privilege of seeing God unpack that dimension of himself. If we take a good look at verse 1, you will see what the Jehovah dimension is capable of. And that was the dimension that was used to answer the stubbornness of Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. He said, when I'm done manifesting the Jehovah dimension, you will be a spectator. And you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. And when I'm done, it is Pharaoh himself that will drive the people out of the land. All of that is encapsulated in a new identity that God was willing to unveil. Are you still with me? Stay with me. Just stay with me. Make sure you are with me. Okay? However, This Jehovah dimension that God is unveiling is predicated on a previous disclosure that he made to the household of Israel, and the disclosure that forms the foundation upon which Jehovah is manifesting today is a revelation of God as the El Shaddai. God as the El Shaddai happens to be the strong one. El Shaddai means strong. El Shaddai means multi-breasted, the one that sustains all but yet is sustained by none. So God used three generations to entrench his identity as El Shaddai in the spiritual heritage of the house of Israel. It was still his identity as El Shaddai that was being unpacked in the life of Abraham, in the life of Isaac, and in the life of Jacob. So if we want to do a study on the disclosure of God as El Shaddai, there are three entities that we need to study. It took three generations to establish that heritage. And that vast heritage of disclosure is what the dimension of God as Jehovah is predicated upon. It means if you don't know the El Shaddai dimension, it will be difficult for you to know the Jehovah dimension. And the Jehovah dimension is what God brings on the table when there is warfare, when there is resistance against destiny, against actualization. Then God wears his garment as Jehovah. And when he's done, the enemies are the ones that are going to facilitate your destiny. The ones that try to hinder it will be found facilitating it, because Jehovah would have manifested a strong hand. Now, my intention this morning is actually to pray a prayer. But before we pray that prayer adequately, we may need to do a study. So let's pick out Abraham, because Abraham is a good specimen for us to understand El Shaddai. So pick Abraham for the purpose of this morning lecture. And then when we have explored a little and some understanding has been registered on the strength of that premise, we will pray a powerful prayer. Turn your Bible to the book of Romans. Like I said, this is a stopgap measure. In the fullness of time, we'll have that moment where I'll be visiting as a friend of the pastor over this house. Now, we may need to go to Romans chapter 4 so that we take inventory of a few matters. Are you still with me?
Yes,
please stay with me. Stay with me. I hope you know why we're exploring the life of Abraham. We are trying to investigate the way God appeared unto him. Because when God was speaking to Moses, God said, even though I'm Jehovah, I decided to appear unto your ancestors by the identity of El Shaddai. So the extent to which you know God is consistent with the way God decides to appear to you. Now, we are going to run a brief study, and you will see how God appeared unto Abraham. If you understand what I'm saying, you might be able to interpret some of God's dealings with your life, and you may therefore be capable to synchronize with God adequately on the strength of how he chooses to appear to you. It's a long reading, and I will challenge every one of us to take some time to read the book of Romans chapter 4, beginning from verse 1. However, for the purpose of the lecture, we will just consider from verse number 17. And that means I've omitted a lot of stuff that would have been relevant in our discussion. But I'll try as much as possible to explain. Hallelujah. Now, let's do verse 16 first, so that, because verse 16 is somewhat of a summary of a lot of stuff that was spoken previously. Verse 16 begins by saying, therefore, it is of faith that it might be of grace. I need to explain that. It's a summary of a lot of disclosures of a sequence of truths that was captured when the encounters of God with Abraham was distilled. Now, this shows us a pattern that is consistent with God's dealings with his people. He said, therefore, because of this, we can't go into the matter for which this therefore is being drawn. But the lesson that is being drawn in that matter is that it is of faith so that it might be of by grace. Listen. When God does a thing, the reason why that thing that God does is actualized, it is because God does everything he does through a currency called grace. Grace is like a currency. It's like a medium of financing. Are you with me? All right. It's just like we have something called Central Bank of Nigeria. And part of the properties that Central Bank owns is the Naira note. The Naira note is the property of the Central Bank. Are you with me? However, if you gain employment, Central Bank provides a possibility for transaction through its notes, and you gain employment and you commit the man hours that are needed, you become entitled to earn the value that you have committed on that job. So that's where Central Bank comes in. Central Bank now provides a platform where you can get currency that is consistent with the value that you have added. So, even though the notes belong to Central Bank, because of the value you added, you become entitled to those notes as your possession. Even though originally and actually the notes belong to Central Bank, you now have authority to use the measure that you have created value for. That's how God works. What we call Central Bank is the same kind of imagery that is unveiled in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. The Bible says that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. That arrangement is what we call the Central Bank of the grace of God. It is from that pool of currency that God funds his projects. Are you still with me? Stay with me. Just stay. It's going to be a wonderful moment. It's from that pool of currency that God funds everything that he is doing in the earth. Meanwhile, in order for grace to become, for you to actualize what is possessed of grace, the only possible way for you to achieve that is that you will need to function by faith. Faith is like the job you did that made what is available in Central Bank your personal possession. So when you come to interface with God through faith, grace becomes your personal possession. That's how you apply for funding. And then from the budgeting house, there is a stream of allocation that comes into your life. So what faith does is that it pedestals your life and makes your life a project that is funded by grace. Don't forget that. So in our lecture, or in this lecture, I would like you to understand that first point. That the moment you decide to believe God sufficiently for you to act on what you believe God said, you become eligible to draw from the currency fund of grace. The moment you choose not to believe God, you don't have any allocation of grace in view. So your life is going to be spent on the resources of your effort. So you choose what you want. You choose whether you want to be running by grace or whether you want to be funded by your own strength. So the Bible says that the design, therefore, is that God wants all of us to be running, operating on grace, and that's why he made faith compulsory. That's why he made statements like, he that comes to God must believe that he is. So he made faith, he pedestaled faith, he prioritized faith because he wants every believer's life to run on the currency of his grace. So the Bible says, therefore, it is of faith so that it might be by grace. Are you with me?
Yes,
now, the it there we are talking about is that God gave him a promise that he will be the father of many nations. And that promise, he didn't have the ability to fulfill that promise by himself, even though he tried to fulfill it by himself. But there was an incapacity. Whenever he attempted to fulfill what God promised him by the strength of the flesh, until he understood how God intended that it will come to pass, that it is going to be a function of the grace of God. Are we there? Now, so let's go to the next verse, 17, which is, as it is written, this is the promise God made to him, I have made thee a father of many nations. Notice that is in brackets, because that's not really part of. He's just trying to make you connect with what God told him. But when God was appearing to Abraham, this he appeared to him on two counts. Because we are looking at the appearance of God, how God appeared to Abraham. Because he said, I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob as the El Shaddai. So we are investigating how he appeared to Abraham. Now, you see, there was a promise in view that God wanted to make him a father of many nations. And this promise had a background. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Had a background. Yeah. All right. We'll go into that background. But I want to show you how God appeared to him. Before whom he believed, because he believed in God, even God who quickeneth the dead. The first way God appeared to Abraham was that he introduced himself to Abraham as the God that quickens the dead. That's the moment. The second way, the second introduction he gave to Abraham was that he was a God that caused those things that be not as though they were. So we have two things. So when he shows up, Abraham goes to sleep, he appears in his dream and says, I am the God that quickens the dead. And he kept doing it until Abraham believed it. You know why he introduced himself as a God that quickens the dead? Abraham's family was given to the priesthood of all of the Chaldees. And in all of the Chaldees, the spirit that was worshipped was a fertility spirit. And when Abraham was 25 years old, the spirit of God began to speak to him. And the requirement that the spirit of God was making to him was that he should get out of his country. He should get out from among his kindred. He should get out from his father's house and go to a land that he will show him. That experience began at the age of 25. I don't have time to take you through all the passages in scripture to build what happened to Abraham. In fact, when the voice came, part of what Abraham did was that he went to tell his father. And so his father now said, well, it's obvious you need a change of environment. And instead of his father, and his father was the one that led the travel party. They left off the Chaldees and went to Haran, which means delay, and spent 50 years there. And God had to kill the father. And that was why when Abraham was eventually going to attend to the calling of the Lord, he was 75. Because the voice came to him when he was 25. So the father helped him waste 50 years. And in 50 years, he was not responding to the call of God. But the fact that they moved at all from all the Chaldees was indicative of the fact that Abraham had to leave the worship of the fertility spirit. And part of the evidences of the conflict that that created was that his wife became barren. In those days, because the duty of the fertility spirit was to ensure that women were fruitful and that if you have any crop on the farm, you will have a bountiful harvest. And if you are into animal production, none of your beasts will die. You just begin to see productivity. And any time that someone is barren, unable to be fruitful, it was an indication that the person was smitten by the fertility spirit. The answer die actually reveals the strong. So God had an opportunity to show Abraham that he was strong. And part of what God will have to do to entrench the knowledge of his all-encompassing strength was to undo what the fertility spirit did to the life of Abraham's wife. So when El Shaddai decided to appear to Abraham, he came with two forms of introduction. I am the God that quickens the dead. I am the God that calls those things that be not. That's my nature, as though they were. So there were two things in view. At this time that we are talking, because Abraham made a further mistake, and Abraham took Lot along. When it was the father that constituted the travel party, the father had a crowd. And the prescription of the crowd was not consistent with the original call of Abraham. Now, at 75, Abraham had the opportunity to constitute the travel party, and he still took Lot along, violating the original premise of the call. So God decided not to relate with Abraham about that call again until the time that he will fulfill all righteousness. And that costed him an additional, I believe, 13 years. Because it was when Abraham was 90 years and 9. Then a few changes had taken place in his life. At that time, Sarah had sold the idea of Hagar to him. He had fallen into it. It means he still had energy. But at 99, his ability to be manly was affected. Drought had set in. And his wife, that was considered barren at teenage age, had entered into mega menopause. And God showed up and said, I am the God that quickeneth the dead. Because at this time, there were two dead things. His own body was dead, and Sarah's womb was over dead.
And that's how he kept introducing himself. Meanwhile, don't forget, the system of working with God was designed to be by faith, so that all of us will be running on the currency of grace. So Abraham, there was no other way God will deal with him other than to make him believe that it was actually possible to reverse debt. That was the introduction that God brought to him. I am the God that raises the dead. And even before Isaac was born, he spoke about him, because he calls those things that are not existing in the natural as though they were. When Abraham tried to help God and he went and made a child with Hagar, Ishmael. Ishmael was a fine young lad, as you must have guessed. I don't want to go into the details. But you see, when you see Ishmael standing and you see Isaac standing, in the natural they look like men, but from the eyes of God they are so different. Because Ishmael was the work of the will of man, and Isaac was a product of a promise that a spirit gave. Because of the way Ishmael came, which is by the will of man, Ishmael became short of what it will require to be a carrier of the covenant of God. If you pass the covenant of God to Ishmael, it will destroy him, because he doesn't have the wiring to hold it. It's just a product of the will of man. For Isaac, you might look at Isaac in the natural and he might look skinny and lanky, but his origin suggests that he had a wiring that was consistent with what was required to be a carrier of a spiritual thing that was handed over from generation to generation. Oh, if you decide that in your life the product that you want to produce will come by the will, by your own will, God will not be able to use that product. Because the design is that God ordained that it must be by faith, so that it can be made efficacious by the grace of God. If God builds, he builds with grace. If God establishes, he establishes by grace, so that when circumstances that normally kill things arise, the same circumstances that kill things will make that which is of grace to grow even faster. And that's why there's a different testimony when the Bible says that when they say there is a casting down, the same circumstances, you will say there is a lifting up. It is because you are running with something that is not of this world. Your operating system is by grace. So Abraham, he now believed. I don't know how many times God appeared to him to knock his doubts. And then God had made him a creature that could believe what he did not see. And he believed that his dead body could be revived. I don't know how God achieved that, but he eventually did. For the Bible says that he staggered not at the promise through unbelief, but he was what? Strong in faith, giving glory to God. And when he came to that point, we were not told about Sarah's faith, but Abraham's faith affected Sarah. The monthly cycle was restored. The wrinkles on our faces suffered setback. Rejuvenation began to take place. And all of that which was happening in the natural was happening. The operating system was in Abraham's spirit. When faith was born, grace now went into action. Grace is supernatural. Grace is a proof that the Spirit of God has gone to work. But you see, all of that could take place because Abraham had aligned with the blueprint, which is faith. And his own body that was dead was brought back to life. Sarah's womb was not only renewed, the blockage, maybe in her fallopian tubes that had gone down, and the gynecologist could no longer help, he came back to life. And in that very old age, she was able to conceive, and God earned the name El Shaddai in the life of Abraham, the strong. I don't have time to take you deeper. But when I was courting my wife, she was in Nebi Uzariah. She told me that she had seen in a vision how that God wants her to run a school in the future. So I gave her a promise that I'm going to build it for you. And when you start a relationship, don't be quick to promise people. I said, oh, I'll be. So while I was working in the oil industry, even though I didn't have what it takes to build anything, but I could buy the land. I had what it required to buy the land. So I bought a lot of land. Until I bought all the land that my landlord had. Because he said I should just be releasing money. So I will release, I bring the paper inside. I'll release, you check and sign. You count and say, okay, it's complete. Then 1 month I didn't release money. He said, neighbor, you are not, there's no alert. I said, the land has finished. Yeah, the land. Yeah. So what I had was land. And it came to pass when a strange president became the president of Nigeria, and he had no minister of finance for 6 months. And the naira dropped so drastically that it was 500 naira to $1. That was when I was praying early in the morning. Meanwhile, I've saved 9 million. Then the great one now said, build. Wait now. He said, build. So I told my wife, the great one has spoken, that we should commence build. So I called the engineer, because I saved 9 million and I felt 9 million was big money. I put my hand in the pocket, we went to the site. Said, all right, an office should be here. This is the crutch area. And this side will be upstairs. Do you know that 9 million, the thing didn't come from the ground. It was underground. It was underground. The moment, because when they say, bring the iron rods that they bought, they say, the thing has tripled now. Naira has died. In fact, one day I wanted to drive everybody from the site, and that they said, no, it's not, we're not stealing your money. This is how much what you gave us can buy. I fell from faith that project, it was in the environment of that strange shocking realization that my friend that had a PhD in quantities of surveying, who said, well, I should bring the plan. She will calculate how much it will take. The PhD in quantity surveying. And when the report was ready, he sent it back. It was 100 and something. And is it at 10 million? Guess what? The faith died. And in the dream, God came and said, the El Shaddai. He said, are you aware that before I started creation, I was broke? Wait. Before I started creation, I was broke. I didn't have money, but I finished. I started broke. Broke? Yes. This is his appearing unto me now. You see, the essence of his appearance is so that he can get you to believe. For Abraham, there were dead things around him. So he came and introduced himself as the God that raises the dead. As the God that called those things that be not as though they were. For me, he came and said, I didn't use money. I was broke when I started. Yeah, that's true. You were broke. You had no money. And I remember that I had $2,000 in my dorm account. I went to First Bank and asked them to give me my $2,000. They said they have only $500. That the remaining $1,500 is in Boko. So I took $500 from the whole of First Bank in my court. It was $500 they had. They gave me $500. I traveled for 48 kilometers to Boko to get $1,500. I thought that if we change that one, it will change anything. When they brought, it means I've not yet understood the lecture. He came again and said, I was broke. I was broke when I started. But on the sixth day, it is not just 24 classrooms I built. I built the entire expanse of the invisible and the visible realm. You are laboring to build 24 classrooms and you, it's not. He kept doing it until I believed. The moment I believed, I began to spend from the central bank of the grace of God. You see, he designed it to be by faith so that it can be powered by the currency called grace. You are too busy. It is your strength. You believe you are so strong. That's why you are here. That was how that building started going up. Sources I never knew existed started going. Meanwhile, my other brother is a manager in Shell. He has not been able to roof his house in Lokoja. So I sent the picture of where we were with the school to our family platform. Then I got an invitation to London. I went to preach in London. That was when COVID started. So they had bodyguards to be following me around so that nobody will be tempted to shake me, because I'm not used to not shaking. So while we were in the car, they had called an Uber to take me to the hotel. A woman now cried. So the bodyguards too, they were weak. They now, and now I wound down. I was wondering what was troubling her. What was troubling her was that El Shaddai went to visit her, that she should empty her palms. It was not that she had an affliction for which she wanted me to pray for. She wanted to obey a strong hand that gripped her. The pounds that lady gave me, when I came back and I changed it at a ridiculous rate anyway, not the best rate. Do you know that thing moved? I said, eh? And there was no plan for that. I didn't know there was a... It was Jehovah himself that went and troubled the woman. Are you with me? Oh, from that meeting, people started calling my personal assistant. Say, you blessed us. You blessed us. You blessed us. Grace had gone into action. So all I was doing was receiving and saying, amen.
Then the Lord will come again and say, okay, send 1 million to that brother. Are you with me? Quickly, because all these ones I didn't know he existed. So I sent quickly. After sending, he said, send 1 million to this preacher. That one is starving. Then I will send like 4 million. Then there will be silence. Then next week. And that person that watched that tape said, are there still men of God like you? But after 2 weeks, when I put the picture of the building there, my brother in church said, hey! Because he used to believe that he is the richest, you know, if he doesn't move, nothing happens. He's not been able to roof. The engineer now came to me and said, Oga, we have reached that part of the building that we cannot pay small, small again. It's the roof. We need to buy the whole roof. I said, how much is it? We bought it. And by the time we finished roofing, I put the picture there. So my brother now acknowledged that there was something. If there was anybody that believed he had money, that my brother. And before you call him, before you come visit him, you have to call him. His wife will approve, so we don't call him. And the Lord raised that building. When I stood on the second floor, it's two floors. Yes. When I stood on the second floor, I told Satan, I said, Satan, this thing now is in the physical realm. You can't steal it. Grace paid. Are you with me? When we finished building, I told my wife I kept my promise. I thought that was all. Then I started seeing visions of the project we are doing now. When they drew the architectural design, I thought it was just a small, fine place. I didn't know that it was 4,500 capacity. I didn't know. I couldn't tell. We had only 12 million in the account. Then I had lent El Shaddai. I wanted to know if it was the one that wanted us to build. So we knew that. So we now deployed the first 10 million. No. First 12 million. When we deployed that 12 million, I came to the pulpit to preach. And I preached that day. As I've been preaching for years, for 14 years, I preached that day. Someone called and said, where are you from? They have been here laboring. Sent 1 million. Preached the second day because it was COVID, so we couldn't go back to work. We were working from home. The borders of the states were closed. That was when you prophesied to me. This man called me and said, may God bless him. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, the bottom line, let me not tell you what he said, but the meaning of what he said is, it is time for you to start preaching now. It's okay. On the seventh day of that preaching, police came to arrest me. I said, I've broken COVID. So we invited the police to come in. The one in our state is, if it's a call like this, the minimum should be 30. We were 15. About 7 of them were in the console room managing the video. They were not even in the hall. Those of us in the hall were like 8 or thereabout. So what law did we break? He insisted that I must be arrested with handcuffs. So one of my pastors now said, if you are looking for who to arrest, take me. I should continue my preaching. From that day that they arrested that pastor, if I preach, the offering will be 1 million. I preach tomorrow, it's 1 million. Preach, it's next million. 1 million. I preach, it's 1 million.
On the 26th day I preached, it was 11 million that as offering. Not from the people I was pastoring, from where I don't know. You know, do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about we were spending from the central bank. I saw an alert from 1 million, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I saw 10. I saw 25. I saw 50. I saw 80. I saw 90. I saw 109. I saw till it became 200. And on the 80th day of the preaching, meanwhile, the police came again to arrest. This time, you will be arrested. There were only 5 people in the hall. Only 5 people in the hall, but they said they got information, reliable. I said, "Yeah, come inside." He came and saw 5 people inside with handcuff. And said, "Okay. The problem now is that he spent his own personal money to come here. And he must arrest somebody because he spent his own personal." So we now gave him the money he spent and then the transport to go back to where he came from. So that preaching, you say I should preach, it was not without challenges. In 80 days, we had raised 200 and something million. So we now started building the place. That was when I discovered that the foundation alone was 55 million. But you know, I'd gone too far. We're already running on the tightrope of grace and becoming used to it. And I stood again on that foundation and told Satan, "This one is no longer in the spirit realm." That was how supplies broke out. A time came, CBN came up with a rule. A rule that stopped. It ran for one month, 2 weeks. It stopped our foreign brethren from being able to send money to us. That was when I discovered that we have opened a domiciliary account that nobody gave into. For the past 5 years, it was dormant. I went there and applied for them to reactivate it. So that was what we now put there. God changed our economy from the Naira economy to the dollar economy. So we thank God that CBN obeyed Satan to do that. This is a live testimony, I'm telling you. You know, I was in the oil industry, so I know that they buy crude in dollars. So we now had people that wanted to buy dollars. So as the thing, if it gets filled up, the marginal sales is 50,000. And they credit you in Naira. I mean, such foreign exchange possibilities that is not in the black market. This building began to. The roofing, 56 million. The sound, 87 million. The multimedia screen, $45,000. The state line, $45,000. The stage, $6,700. The rock, $20,700,000. Because the Naira was unpredictable, we had to pay at once. Because if you don't, they will give you the price as at. You understand what I'm, you are a bank. You understand what I'm. It was no longer. We left the regime of the strength of man and we began to see what grace can do. I am giving this testimony for the first time for a reason. Before I left Makurdi to come to Lagos, it was 748 million. Even the governor's building is on hold. His own, the one, the governor, he had to send his spies to the building to ask, who are the people doing this in this economy? 748 million. So it is more than that now, because when I came to Lagos, we had to still make some payments. So I've lost count of the current figure. The AC, 43 million. Central AC. I've forgotten the ceiling. Then the parts for the roof so that it will not be hot. We can change the, which is also an acoustic, you know, material that will blot out echoes. I saw God a way I've never seen him before. So I tell you, to operate by grace is better. So when you were talking about power, that there's a power, God ministered this to me. That the day where you will see the work of the grace of God, that's the season that you're coming. Politicians in our state that will never go to church because they are idol worshippers, they have their shrines in their houses. That project has attracted all of them. And we are trusting God, because the dedication, we are going to invite all of them and present Jesus to them. I appeared unto your ancestors, as El Shaddai. He appears to you now as the El Shaddai. He calls you into a walk of faith, and the currency of the grace of God is going to be unleashed in such a measure that will make people that have sought your downfall to tremble. Amen. Many people that be that have spoken behind you that you are too bold, you are too forthright, you are too disciplined, your values are extreme, will be humbled in the days that are to come, because God is going to power your efforts with the currency of the grace of God. Amen. Father, I pray for this congregation. I ask, oh God, that your grace will become a commodity that will sponsor destiny. Amen. That will sponsor their homes. That will sponsor their affairs in the name of Jesus. If you are still with me, this time for us to pray in tongues in a moment. That's the message he put upon my heart. That the regime of grace begins. Mosaico, Santoria, Blackabala, Masketolia. The things you have been doing all the while that nobody noticed, it will make people to notice it. People will be blessed by it. They'll be transformed by it. And they will stand with you to raise your hand. The regime of grace. The regime of grace. Oh, my Koskeso Salamantalia. Recoseco bande cura mahasi brontes capai to copela maya cote balatuala shacombre kenda sica maca balaito gema selico bresco falatula bacabelaita is camamaya combela sila. It's a regime of the grace of God
is a regime of the grace of God. God himself will be the one that will enthrone you by himself. He's the one that will advertise you by himself. He will cause people to supernaturally stumble on your products and they'll be interested to stand with you, because the grace of God goes to work in this company.